Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
We've each been given by God one lifetime with limited resources. How you steward those resources is your gift back to God. And today we're going to discover how to steward life in light of eternal priorities. Stay with us next with Dr. Paul Chappell, a new series, Stewarding Life. Truly, life is a gift from God, and each of us has one lifetime to live with limited resources. So here's the question today. Are you spending or are you investing your life? God has given you a life and filled it with resources like time and health and finances and relationships. How you steward those resources will determine whether you successfully fill God's eternal purpose for your life. I'm Kerry Schmidt, and this is Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, and we hope you'll join us for every step of this journey, stewarding life. You can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you do, you can listen to recent broadcasts, including all of the broadcasts for this series, Stewarding Life. And be sure to take a look at Dr. Chappell's new book that goes along with this series. It's entitled Stewarding Life. It's a couple hundred pages hardback, and it encapsulates all the great truths we're studying in one hardback book. You can find information about all of these resources at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today's message is Stewarding the Gift of Family, Psalms chapter 127 and Deuteronomy 6. Here's Paul Chappell.
Well, as we continue learning about life's greatest gifts, we're learning that God places a lot of blessings into our lives. Sometimes He allows burdens into our lives, and He wants us to steward these things wisely. Now, regardless of how your family is made up today, whether you're a single mom, a single dad, young couple, maybe just getting started, maybe you have already raised your kids and have grandchildren, whatever the family structure, I want you to know that God's gifts to you include your family, and that when He places you in a family and places people in your family, He wants you to steward that blessing according to His Word. And today we're going to see from the text of God's Word that children are a gift from the Lord and that God wants us to steward them wisely. Now, have you ever been given something in your life that maybe someone said, here, you can borrow this or you can have this, but just take care of it? How many have ever had something like that? You know, here, you can borrow this. And I was preaching a few years ago out in the state of New Jersey, and my wife, Terry, doesn't usually get to travel with me when I preach, but we were able to go together on this particular meeting, and I preached on Monday night and Tuesday night, and during the day Tuesday, we were going to meet some friends in New York City and go to Ground Zero and have some lunch and so forth, and so we had some friends there in the church at New Jersey that had known me most of my life, and God had really blessed his medical practice, and they were very, very kind to us, And he said, now, Brother Chappell, we want you to enjoy yourself, and we want you to know if there's anything you need, let us know. And instead of renting a car or having someone pick you up, we want you just to use one of our cars. And so we were at their house after church on Monday night, and they said, let's go down to the garage here, and you can pick out a car that you might want to use. And so I said, well, you know, we don't mind having someone drive us or renting a car. I said, no, we want you to use one of these cars. And so we went down and they opened up their garage. And in their garage were two cars, a brand new Bentley and a brand new Mercedes. I looked at those cars and I said, you know, really, honestly, we don't need one of these cars. Now, Now, inside, I was thinking, I wonder how fast these babies go, you know? I mean, I really was kind of curious about that. But, you know, we were saying, no, we don't need to use the car. And he said, no, we want you to. And so I thought, well, if I get in a crash, I know I don't want to crash a Bentley, for sure, you know? So I chose the Mercedes, and it was a beautiful car. I mean, I've never driven a car like that before or since. And you know, at first, it was awesome. They gave us the keys, and we took it out on the road on Tuesday morning. But once we got going just a little while, all of a sudden, fear just gripped my heart. And I thought, good night. What if I destroy this car? This car is worth a lot of money. I can't pay the guy for it. And I couldn't shift it just right. I felt this transmission was winding. I finally figured out a little special button. And I thought, I don't want to blow the transmission on this. And my whole thought was just consumed with, I can't ruin this guy's car. We're going down the freeway, and I'm in the slow lane. I'm obeying every traffic law, you know, just really driving. My wife says to me, she likes Diet Coke. She said, honey, do you think we could pull over and get some Diet Coke? Now, I don't know New Jersey and New York. I mean, I know L.A., all right? I know L.A., I know California, but I'm not an expert on New Jersey, I'll be honest. And so I thought, well, sure, and I looked, and I couldn't find the signs or anything. So finally, I just pulled over in the street, and I turned left, went back over the freeway. And I'm telling you, folks, when I got into these neighborhoods, I really felt like I was in a third world country. I mean, the graffiti and the bars over the windows and everyone just kind of walking around, not like the welcome wagon or something like that. I mean, it was a rough neighborhood. Well, I drove along, and finally I saw a Wendy's restaurant. I thought, oh, I know Wendy's. Yes, a sign of comfort, you know. And I went in there to Wendy's, and hey, if you haven't had the chocolate frosty, you're missing out. You know what I'm saying? And Wendy's is a great place. It was a place I recognized. But when we pulled into Wendy's, I mean, there were all these guys. I don't know if they're like looking for jobs or looking for what they were looking for, trouble or what, but they're just kind of hanging out. I knew this. I couldn't leave Terry in the car. I knew that immediately. And so I said, come on, honey, we'll go in. We'll get the Diet Coke. But on the way in, I thought, what about the car? I mean, this car, I mean, it had... I don't know if they were gold and silver wheels or chrome or what all that was. And I mean, I'm very carefully going in, and all of a sudden these guys are kind of walking around, looking at the car, you know, checking it out, looking at the rims, looking at the little Mercedes emblem on the front, you know. And I go in, I order the Diet Coke, but I ran back out to check on the car like that, you know. Went back in. I must have ran back out two or three times on the way into New York City. I was so nervous going through the tunnels and changing lanes, finding a place to park. When I found a place to park, they had these little concrete things down here, you know. And I pulled that Mercedes up, and when I did, you get a... I scraped it right underneath. I got out. I looked the best I could. I put it in reverse. I pulled it back. I checked. Praise the Lord. Nothing looked bad. Nothing was broken, you know. And I was going to have to go get some epoxy or something to fix that up. I'm just telling you what. I mean, I was so nervous all day long about taking care of that car, I could hardly enjoy the car. You know what amazes me is that God will place into our care many times, and for many of you, a human life. And people seem to be less concerned about how they take care of that human life than they would a Mercedes-Benz. Now, how many of you would agree with me this morning that the gift of life is so much greater than any material possession? I believe we need to be more serious about how we steward our children and our marriages and our family relationships. And so that's what we're going to learn about this morning, because that's what really matters. And I'm going to tell you what, with our four children, and we thank the Lord they're raised, they're serving the Lord now, but now we've got some grandkids, and we want them to know about the Lord, you know? We want Camden and we want Delaney to know about, you know, that wasn't Delaney's best picture. She wasn't really into that moment there. But you know what we've tried to do at every turn is we try to talk to these children about the Lord. I'll take Camden out to the backyard, and I'll say, Camden, see the tree? God made the tree. I'll say, Camden, hear the birds? God made the birds. Camden, see the B-2? Northrop made that. The other day, we were out in our backyard, and a B-2 bomber came over. I don't know if it was 40 feet or 60 feet above our house, but it sure seemed low, and man, it was loud. And Camden said, big airplane, Papa. I mean, he knew immediately that was something special. But you know, in all these little lessons, we're looking for ways to prepare their hearts for the love of the Lord. And I want to speak to you about how to do that with your family today. Now, how are we going to steward God's gift of the family? Take out your notes and your Bible. I believe if we're going to steward our family wisely, the first thing we've got to learn how to do is to teach the Scriptures to our family. We must emphasize the teaching of the Scriptures to our family. So let's look at Deuteronomy and get a blueprint this morning. Notice in verse 4 it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." In the Hebrew, this is known as the Shema. The Shema is simply a Jewish confession of faith in monotheism. And this was something known amongst all of the families. They believed in one God. And so Moses reminds them that we have a God. But he says to them in verse 5, he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Now, if we're going to ever pass this down to the next generation, the first thing we've got to do, if you're taking notes this morning, letter A, we have got to make it personal to the parents. Parents, you've got to make your faith real. You've got to make your walk with God real. Once you've been born again, to grow. You've been born spiritually, but we must grow spiritually. And God says, "I want you adults to love me with your heart, your soul, and your might." Here we see this verse number 5. The heart is the innermost being of a man. The soul speaks of our emotions and passions and life. And our might speaks of all of our energies and powers. God says, "Hey, if you're going to have a Christian home, it's got to be real with you, Dad. It's got to be real with you, Mom." George Sweeting, a former pastor years ago of the Moody Church in Chicago, said, and I quote, "May God deliver us from a ho-hum attitude. Young people can read their parents. They can see right through their teachers, and they turn away in disgust from a make-believe faith." And so we must, as moms and dads, as single moms, single dads, grandparents, whatever your case today, we must personally say, "Lord, I want to keep it right with you and real with you. Lord, I want to love you more." How many of you are like me this morning? You can say, "Pastor Chapel, I love the Lord, but I want to love him more." That's my heart this morning. Sometimes things can crowd into our hearts and kind of crowd God out. Sometimes it's just our ego. You know what ego is? It's edging God out. And suddenly we don't love God as much as we really should. And Moses says, "Hey, moms and dads, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." And then secondly, he says, "I want you to have a personal walk with the Lord." You personally walking with the Lord. Look at verse 6. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." So God says, "I want you to have a heart for me. I want you to have a heart that desires me." Now someone said, "You can con a con and you can fool a fool, but you can't kid a kid." All right, let's say that together, all right? You can con a con and you can fool a fool, but you can't a kid. In other words, folks, before we start trying to teach the kids, we better make sure that we love the Lord ourselves. We better make sure that we have a heart for God ourselves. So we must be personally following the Lord. Secondly, then, we must present what we're learning to the children. This is not the job of the Sunday school primarily or the Christian school primarily. It is the job of the parents and the home to teach the children. Look at verse 7. It says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." God says, "You know what? I want every home to be a place where my scriptures are prevalent, where they are prominent in the home. I want my families to know about me and to hear from me." And so that is done in many ways. Sometimes it's done by reading together the Bible. Sometimes it's by talking about what our children learned in Sunday school or what we learned in our adult Bible class or what we learned in our personal Bible reading. God says, "I want it to be right there a part of your family." You know what Joshua said in Joshua 24 and verse 15. He said, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house," what did he say? We will serve the Lord. You know, you ought to be able to have a friend come over to your house from your neighborhood or your work, and they ought to be able to just sense once they're getting in there, you know what, this is a Christian home. They've got some plaques with the Bible around. I see Bibles in this home. The kids talk a little differently in a good kind of a way. It just ought to be obvious that you're teaching the children some things that are biblically based. God says, "I want you to teach the truth." You know what else he says to the Jews here in verse 9? He says, "I want you to post the truth." Now notice what he says there in verse number 9. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now, my friend, when you think about this, and when you think about how the Jewish homes would place Scripture and perhaps the Ten Commandments, I think all of us, if we're saved, we're new creatures. It ought to affect the way that we live and even what's in the house that we live in. Now, I'm not putting anyone down. Sometimes I'll go to a Christian's house and they'll have some kind of questionable stuff hanging up in the garage, maybe a bunch of nudity. Or I'm just saying this. When you have Jesus in your life and in your home, you don't want to post Budweiser. You want to post things that bring glory to God. Amen. You start to think a little differently about it, and you begin to think, you know what? Besides some beautiful paintings or pictures, you know what? I want some of those paintings maybe to have a scripture on them, or I want a little plaque somewhere with the Ten Commandments or John 3:16, something that reminds us of our faith, okay? Because the fact of the matter is that if it's all Budweiser and HBO, that's where your family's going to go. But if you want your family to be lifted up out of that, then we've got to begin to think differently and scripturally. We've got to begin to post some things that we can see. Now, the Jews did some things that we don't do in this particular age and dispensation. Look what it says in verse 8. It says, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. When I was in Israel a few years ago at the Western Wall, I saw some of the Orthodox Jews. Maybe you've seen this too. They literally take these phylacteries, and they put scripture in them, and they tie them around their heads. In order to walk around with the scriptures. Now, folks, I got good news for you. We're not passing these out after church. I mean, some of you, if you wore that home from church, your teenagers would go, Dad has flipped out, okay? Now, I do know a few men that I've pastored over the years. I'd like to tie this and more around some of their heads. You know, like, love your wife. Don't forget, boy. You know, tie that one on tight, because sometimes it seems like we forget what we're hearing from church. But the point is that we need to teach our children, and we need to have a home where the scriptures are prevalent. The teaching of the scriptures, God says, here is a life. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to steward this life? Notice, secondly, he says, I not only want you to teach them about me, but I want you to have a testimony before these children. Moms and dads, I want you to live a life before them that shows them the way. Don't just tell them the way, but show them the way to this life. So let's turn now in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians over in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's see what God says to the fathers here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Okay? Ephesians 6:4. We've seen that God wants us to teach the children. Now he wants us to have a testimony. Verse 4, notice what it says. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now this is very basic, but how many of you believe America needs to get back to basics? Very basic thought. God doesn't intend the school or the state to raise your children. California has recently passed so many laws that are anti-life and anti-biblical family, and now even anti-parental rights, that it's frightening to me, frankly. Governor Jerry Brown is one of the most liberal men that has ever governed a state in the United States of America. And when I think about some of these bills, I just go, what are these folks thinking? I think about the bill that was passed just a week ago Friday that allows 12-year-old girls to get the HPV vaccine, which is basically a vaccine to protect from various types of sexually transmitted diseases. And we're not against medicine. We're not against vaccines. What we are against is taking a 12-year-old girl and giving her that shot without her parents' knowledge. Now, folks, I want you to know that you have a choice today. You can raise your child, or the state will raise your child, but I'm telling you, God wants you to be involved with your children's lives. To know who their friends are, to know where they are, to teach them, to love them, and to bring them up. So what does God say about us being involved with our children? Look at what it says here in verse number 4 of chapter 6. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay, dads, God says, first of all, I want you to have a testimony of moderation. I want you to have a testimony that is not known for always being angry, yelling, screaming, and the like. And how many of you would admit with me, sometimes our kids know exactly what buttons to push? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they get us to that point where we can get frustrated. Heard about a lady named Donna. She was expecting her second child. She had a 4-year-old boy, and she was telling everybody about having this baby. She was so excited. She went to a grocery store one day, and one of her friends was there, and the friend said, "Oh, that's great, Donna." And she looked at the 4-year-old boy, and she said, "Are you excited about the little baby?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I've been listening to Mom and Daddy talk about it, too." And said, "I know what the names are going to be. If it's a girl, we're going to call the baby Christina. And if it's a boy, we're going to call it Quits." Some of you will get that tomorrow. Donna was a little exasperated, a little embarrassed. Sometimes our kids embarrass us. Sometimes they talk back. Sometimes they don't listen or do their chores. But God says, in the midst of this, dads, don't provoke your children to wrath. Be a man filled with the Spirit and with moderation. Be a man who has the fullness of God and is witnessing for the Lord. You see, it is the duty of the family to follow the leadership of the father, but the father must manifest such character that disobedience is rendered from the heart of the child or even the wife. As the family sees this spiritual leadership, it's a blessing for them, and they want to support that because it is something that is of God. That's why it says in Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." The word discouraged there means broken in spirit or disheartened. Now, I want to tell you something real quickly. This kind of teaching that Paul was giving to the Ephesians, this wasn't normal in the first century Roman Empire. You know, in the first century Roman Empire, the way they treated children was terrible. In fact, their way of treating children was somewhat barbaric. And I want you to know this, that while some people would say, well, Christianity just takes away your rights and Christianity just holds you down, the truth is really the opposite of that. Wherever biblical Christianity has advanced, civility has also advanced. Wherever biblical, you know, someone says, well, what about the Crusades? I'm not talking about the Crusades, and this is not a Catholic church. Did you know that during the Crusades, not only Muslims were killed, but even Baptists and every other religion that got in the way, they had their lives taken. Baptist people have never killed to advance the faith. I'm not talking about that type of barbarism. What I'm saying is that whenever Christianity has been spread, you're going to find this: orphanages, hospitals, children being nurtured and cared for. You're going to find wives being lifted up and respected and women being respected. But in the first century Roman culture, there was a law called patria potestas, which said that a father had virtual power over his children and that he could literally cast them out of the house, he could sell them as slaves, he could even kill them and never be held accountable. This particular man in the Roman Senate by the name of Seneca, he was a statesman at the time of Paul's living, and he wrote a letter to a man in Ephesus in which he said, "We slaughter a fierce ox, we strangle a mad dog, we plunge a knife into a sick cow, children born weak or deformed, we drown." Now that was what life was like in the Roman Empire. So Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Spirit and saying, by the way, dads, don't get your kids angry. Don't discourage your kids. Love your kids. How many of you see the difference that Christianity brought? How many of you begin to see that when we grow, we're not going to be barbaric, cussing, half out of our mind drunk parents, but we're going to bring a civility into the home that is very, very different.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're presently studying a series entitled Stewarding Life. You can find out more about this series and hear recent broadcasts when you visit dailyintheword.org. Be sure to also consider subscribing to our daily devotional and the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word, take it with you on your computer or phone, and listen to it at your convenience. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.